Hey everybody, really funny show today. We talk gaming NFT projects with Kix, who is obviously the resident gaming expert. He discusses some of the new NFT collections, for example, one that was released by the founders of Zed Run, and also some of the gaming assets in the NFT space that have gone up in flames, the different collections that have been disasters. It's really fun. There's a live buy. We joke around a lot. It's a good episode. Hope you enjoy it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the NFT show. In today's episode, we are discussing the great NFT gaming implosion and the current state of affairs with crypto and blockchain gaming. As usual, nothing in this video is financial advice. We are not financial advisors. The NFT space is insanely risky, so always do your own research. And as always, if you enjoy the content, hit the like button, smash the subscribe button, send the content to your friends, tell them to subscribe too. That's how the channel can grow. Kix, you're the resident gaming expert. Obviously, you are the CEO of a venture-funded crypto game called Crypto Raiders. I'd say it's a top 50 game in the crypto and blockchain space. It's built on a layer two, built on Polygon, founded during summer 2021, so relatively early compared to some of this other stuff. You know, I wanted to see, what is the current state of affairs with crypto gaming? We've seen implosions earlier this year. It seems like there's some implosions going on right now. Kix, let us have it, man.
First off, you're just absolutely way too kind. Yeah, I think that the gaming market for the most part is quite similar to just NFTs in general, where there's like exciting new projects coming along, but there's also old projects that are kind of just stuck in the gutter, right, and are like slow bleeding or fading out. So it seems pretty similar. But I mean, you have people like Digi Daigaku coming in raising $200 million and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, that was huge news. So for people that don't know, and we lost your video, Kix, I don't know if that was intentional. For people that don't know, DigiDaigaku was a project by Gabe. What is Gabe's last name?
Gabe Big Balls.
Laydon. Leydon. I got that wrong.
Right, okay. Gabe Laydon. Yeah, no, I thought Nick was right, actually. So thank you for correcting that. So anyway, and he comes from the traditional gaming world where he's already built a $1 billion free-to-play gaming enterprise. And then he comes into Web3 and he says, these are the new rules. Everything's got to be free-to-play, right? No land sale, none of that shit. And I'm raising $200 million at a $1 billion valuation.
Kind of a big deal. Yeah, so I mean, there's lots of projects out there, like for example, like Axie Infinity, that has a ton in the treasury, right, and has like lots of big ideas and has like a loyal following. Like when you look at like the gaming space, Axie Infinity probably is still like the Bored Ape, right, or like the Yuga Labs in terms of just like the one that did the most in the bull, right, and got the the most upside. But I think that the interesting thing when it comes to like, game development, something I've definitely learned over the past, year, is that it's really hard. You know what I mean? It's not easy to do. And I think during the bull market, a lot of people that, maybe hadn't ran a business before or built a game before kind of jumped in, right? And like kind of the sober reality of how much it costs to make a game, right? And like produce a game, regardless if it's a successful one or not, right, is like starting to like hit the market. And so we're seeing some, projects that are just running out of funding and they're like, we're closing up shop. You know what I mean? The game is no longer. And I mean, there were similar issues back in the Kickstarter days, where lots of, Kickstarter projects really didn't come fully to fruition. So we're kind of seeing that again.
So, okay. So like, what are the, cause you sent one beforehand, which is this NFT Viking game called Northern Guilds. You're showing another failed business here, Pio. NFT Viking game, Northern Guilds.
Yeah, they took their website offline, so you have to hit the article.
Here's the link, Pio, for the articles right here. The Kotaku one. Actually, Kotaku. It's the first link that he shared. So they just shut this thing down. It was announced in September of 2021. It didn't even make it a year. Like, I mean, that's pretty freaking bad. Like, how much?
And it's an interesting story. There's twists or turns. Just to give the top, I guess they made $2.5 million off the mint, or $2.5 million total. So they had a decent amount of money. but they didn't pay taxes on it in 2021, and it's like Dutch taxes.
Oh, sounds legit.
Scale their team up too high. I guess assuming that, you know, the bull run would continue and, you know, they have a lot of secondary.
I love the scaling the organization, but not paying taxes. That's one of my favorite things. So,
and then they sum it up by, at the very end, they're trying to desperately get investors, including allegedly Russian nationals.
Hold on. So this guy says, calling the last few months a nightmare, a tragedy, a dumpster fire. The former employee says, while it initially been claimed that the game had just secured enough funding a few months prior to get us through one and a half to 2 years of development, had constantly been trying to secure more money. The CEO and CTO had been trying to secure more money, including meeting with Russian nationals.
So they're going for straight, like, embargoed money. You know what I mean? Like,
to be fair, like, that Russia's been a large source of startup funding as well as Saudi Arabia. So you got to include those two characters in the space.
And who knows, but maybe this was pre-Ukraine, you know?
Yeah, that could have been the case. So it's also alleged that the pair started, without the rest of the team knowing, another project, NFT Vault, which quickly failed, but also shifted their attention from Pixie for a while, leading to a period when our upper management and leadership climate started to change. We all felt it. It's like, well, this house of cards, sorry, guys, it's just not working out. They didn't plan this at all. This is basically just some, like, gung-ho whiz-bang entrepreneurs.
Well, it's move fast and break stuff, Nick. Move fast, don't pay taxes, take Russian embargo money. All right, go ahead, Case.
Yeah, literally that. And I was just saying, it just baffles me too that, like, you know, it just seems like they just, like, suddenly run out of money. Like, they haven't done, like you know, just a basic Excel, like, burn rate calc. Like, okay, with our payroll at X, we have Y months before we run out of money. You know what I mean? It's just like these things, like, I don't know if it was, like, hoping that there would be a quick turnaround or something like that, or they can, you know, rush it to the finish line. But yeah, I just thought it was, like, a wild story. And it made me think that there's probably more of these coming in, that not just in the gaming space, but just the NFT space in general, right? Like, there's got to be a lot of projects out there that are 3 to 5 months away from just hitting zero on the bank account and moving on. And there's probably some founders out there that are going to say, there's only 4 months left, we're not going to make it to the finish line anyways, I'm pulling this out and ending it now, you know?
I guess. I mean, so
what's just interesting is you said there were a series of them, though, because you sent me a link to a Cryptstarter one also.
Yeah, so here's another one, Untamed Isles. So they were trying to be like the Web3 Pokemon. We'll call them the Pixelmon Lite. But yeah, this...
I posted the link in here, Pia. Yeah.
Yeah,
it looks like Pixelmon.
Yeah. I mean, it actually looked like they had, like, game previews and stuff like that that looked like, you know, somewhat legit. But this is an interesting one because they, like, raised $500 on Kickstarter and then, like, tried to go hard on the Web3 side and then, like, basically just, you know, suddenly out of the blue, they launched on Steam. They launched on Steam and, like, tried to sell copies of the game on Steam. And then just said, like, we're completely out of money. They said their burn rate was, like, $500,000 a month or something. And I'm just struggling to do the math. I'm like, you raised 500 grand on Kickstarter. Like, where's the rest
of the money coming from?
Yeah, did they scale up to, like, a two-month burn? Like, they just went up to 500K with a million and just, like, you know, straight zeroed. But then there was, like, confusion because they were saying that, you know, they were saying that the crypto markets made it so they had to, like, pause the project, and people thought that they, like, gambled the Kickstarter money on, like, Luna or something. And they kind of clarified, like, no, it's like the market conditions are so bad that we're not able to, like, get investors, or, like, the play to earn side of the game isn't going to work.
What's hilarious, these situations seem like, I don't know how we could have avoided this situation. Like, it's like sort of,
there's nothing we could do.
Both messaging around it. This includes, like, every rug pull's, like, storyline. They're just like, oh man, it's been a sequence of a variety of disasters and catastrophes that we have run into along the way. And there is nothing, I'm telling you, nothing that we could have done to have avoided this situation, such as, I don't know, not paying, you know, burning $500,000 a month. I like it. Maybe the storyline is like, we raised $500,000. We spent it immediately. And so, yeah, unfortunately, this thing is out of business. Man, building games is such a tough thing. I will say Kickstarter became one of the largest vertical on there, if not, or one of the largest, if it wasn't the largest. All the ones that get all the attention are sort of the like invention startups, like the new lunchbox or what's the thing that you put ice in? A cooler. The cooler that sold millions of dollars. Or you used to work with.
I know exactly
with,
what you're talking about.
So coolest cooler or something like that. Anyway, so I used to interview those people, but the thing was the number of those versus the number of games being created was far more. So the vast majority, it was a long tail. And in that long tail, it was always surprising the amount of games that I saw in there, because I'm like, how is there this much money? When you're selling the coolest cooler, you're getting a cooler that you're expecting to be delivered to you, you know, somewhere in the relatively near future, within the next 6 months. But with a game like this, you're just putting money into this dream, which is probably, for the most part, not going to materialize. So
yeah, and like when this all was going down, I actually like looked up like kind of like the top 10 Kickstarter games, mm-hmm. and like in terms of how much they've raised, because there's at least 10 that have raised over $1 million in Kickstarter. And it was actually like not too bad. It was like a 30-40% success rate where like mm-hmm. they actually produced like an actual playable game, and like two of them were actually like big successes, right? But like, yeah, five of them were just like, you know, ran out of funds, delivered a, not great game or no game at all.
So this article says, when the crash came, we ended up heavily exposed with too short of a runway. So basically, they just didn't move it into US dollars. The game remains, the game remains game first, crypto second in design, but crypto funds have become and remain essential in getting us to the release. We have a great design team, but until the crypto situation is resolved, I'm hoping that we can resolve the crypto situation. Like, you're muted, Pia.
Until the crypto situation is resolved,
then we have to hibernate development of this. Like, what are they? So what? I don't actually, here's a bigger question. So were they watching it drop? Like, at what point would the crypto was down? Like, 75%, and they're like,
it's like a gas tank thing. They're not on like empty yet, but they're
like, but haven't they also been spending out of that? Like, how are they paying engineers?
That's what I listened to this guy talk about it on Twitch, and it just like didn't make sense to me, because it was like they had like, they're like, we feel really bad because we're letting go like 40-50 employees in like New Zealand or Australia. I'm like, what was the burn rate on this thing? Like, holy crap. Like, you know what I mean? And like the Kickstarter raised 500K. Then they had a different project, a different NFT project. And like that other NFT project was going to get like access to this game for free. There was just so many just elements. Yeah, the comments are, you should go through the comments. They're pretty interesting.
And that wait a minute. And that ass has fallen
It's a reference. You missed the pre-quote. So I had to look into this. So basically there's another quote. The economic landscape has changed dramatically. They mean the ass has fallen out from the crypto market, which is a quote from another person. As Square Enix sells Tomb Raider to bet big on blockchain, the NFT market collapses. So in this one, they say the ass has... Wait, the quote that they're saying...
The ass fell out. Ass, so basically, yeah... They're
what,
saying
what does
like,
that mean the ass fell out? You know, what is that
it
even
means that like, you know, like, dude, your ass is what drives. Like, dude, think about football sports. It's like you gotta have some ass to like, you know, really drive it, drive forward. That's where you get your power from. You know, if you kicked, you're muted.
And
you're
once that falls out, you're done.
Exactly. So basically,
dude, the classic football situation. That what happened? Well, the ass fell out.
I mean, dude, have you ever seen like when someone's like, "Oh, look at this! This house has a real ass on it." I didn't realize it was that big.
Kicks, did you win or lose fantasy football last week?
I won, dude. I had the number one point scored in our group.
Oh, shit. Well, the other person you were playing against, their ass fell out. I mean, that's like pretty clear.
Yeah, their ass
fell
out hard.
The ass fell out on their team when one of their main players got injured. That's how exactly. You would say it. It's like the team's ass fell out. But here, the quote, the ass has fallen so far out that the devs say in a separate post, due to our cash reserves being empty, we are not in a position to refund our initial backers. So, we are truly sorry about this and wish this scenario was different.
My bad. Micah G makes a good point. He says, this is like a weird Google Translate of the bottom fell out. And I would not be surprised if this was like a Google Translated like article that was modified.
That's probably what it was.
Because I went and looked at that article, and the quote that they're using where they say the ass fell out is not in the article that they're quoting. So I don't understand.
It's probably Russian or something.
It's Russian?
No, I mean and through Google Translate, you know, bottom became ass.
But I mean, what I can say, I mean, building games is definitely hard, and I think people underestimate the time and then the cost to like get an idea to the finish line. But like, also, I just feel like a lot of people there, they either just like were betting that like NFTs and specifically NFT gaming was just going to go to the absolute moon and like every game was going to win, right? Or there just wasn't like good business like management on these things, because it's just like, here's the fact of the matter: if you have a game and you need it to like be a success in a year, like you have a year burn, you might as well just give up. Like you can't make a great game in 1 year.
You're muted, Pia.
I don't know why I keep muting myself. Weird. Like, I don't normally do that. Yeah. So you're saying you need like 2-3 years of runway, no matter what?
You need 2 or 3 years runway, like 90% of the time.
So I got a question for you, Kix, as it applies to these different things and these different things being games. Do you, when you're developing a game, like my general thought is usually you're trying to develop adoption, but the beginning of it is basically, I don't know if you've seen this. There's playing card decks where you can, it's like slap together three of these game dynamics and then you mm-hmm. have a game to go produce.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where do you, like, when you come up with that concept, so you initially come up with funding, you end up with traction. What's interesting in your case is that you guys got revenue, a lot of revenue up front without even any gameplay with Crypto Raiders. And so, how do you think about that in this sort of scenario? There's so many hurdles that face that like a game faces on the journey toward even releasing the game. Like the release of the official game is usually like the exciting moment for you all. You guys release something basic and have evolved it over time.
Exactly.
Like how does that fit in when you go think about like capital and how money is usually deployed into gaming? Is it usually concept first? Is it like, is it proof of concept created where there's like a demo of it? Like, how does this usually go down? Because the big games, don't they just make a huge bet essentially? Or do they do like progressive bets? Like how does that actually work?
The big studios do like progressive bets, right? Like they're not going to be the first to gamble on something new. So like, for example, like when Battle Royale games first came out, you know, where mm-hmm. you drop down. Yeah. Those games like PUBG and DayZ and H1Z1, they were kind of the first there, and they kind of validated like Battle Royales are here to stay. Right. And then at that point, Call of Duty came in with their own version of a Battle Royale. Apex Legends came out a couple years after that.
But PUBG was a still big, big game, right? Like, how expensive was it to create that?
Oh yeah, they absolutely crush it. I mean, I think it cost PUBG like probably like $20 million or something
to develop the game. So the bet is a $20 million bet. Is that?
But PUBG started as a free Arma 2 mod. So like this guy had. So it may have been cheaper because this guy had like kind of created it in Arma 2 as a free mod and like built the whole like game. And then this studio hired him to build PUBG, which is like basically he took his mod and made it like a standalone game. So it may have been cheaper for them, but they've absolutely killed it on PUBG. So, but basically, like AAA studios, they're not going to move into a new genre until it's like a safer bet, right? But they still flop all the time on bets for sure. But to your original question, basically how like traditional games is like you kind of came up with a game idea and you have like a game design doc, right? That's like, this is how the game is going to work. And if everyone has like confidence in that, then you'll go into like a phase where you essentially like lay out like the battle plan start to finish. These are the resources we're going to need. This is the, you know, to build this game to fruition. This is what the timetable is going to look like. Generally the game design too, you'll have some concept art to go along with it. Right. And then like, that's the whole pre-production phase. Then you go into production phase and that takes like, you know, 2+ years to get to the finish line. But then there's also like games as a service. So what we did at Crypto Raiders was, cause we actually, when we launched our NFTs, we already had a basic dungeon to do. Right. And we sold our original NFTs at like $20 a pop. So it's basically just like, this is how you can get into the game.
And on Polygon with no gas.
Yeah.
And not initially, it was ETH, the one.
Initially it was on ETH, yeah. But then we quickly ported over to Polygon. But our concept was like, we're going to make this a games as a service. And so like games as a service is when like the game is live and you're continually updating and improving it. So that's like a World of Warcraft, even like a Call of Duty these days kind of operates as a game of service, right? They'll put new content into the game.
Right? Versus back in the day when I bought Super Mario 64, I bought that finished thing and that's it.
That's all you got, right? And so like, a lot of games are moving towards like games as a service. But yeah, so we've been building along the way. Like Crypto Raiders, we launched in June. We didn't really get like a lot of exposure or traction until like November or December of that year. So we had been building for like 6 months and had like a product for like 6 months by the time that we had gotten some traction. But yeah, just the problem with gaming is a lot of people, like if you launch an NFT sale and you raise $2.5 million with your NFT sale like that, that Northern Guilds thing did, like you have to have a reasonable understanding of what you can accomplish with $2.5 million. And when that comes to a game, it's not going to be like an MMO. It's not going to be this world you're running in with sick fucking graphics and like all of that stuff. It's just, you're not going to pull that off with $2.5 million. And so I just think, sadly enough, and I think a lot of these game projects also had good secondary revenue coming in and they were like betting on that as their payroll, right? And then that dries up. Right. So I think we're just in a situation where like, you know, some, you know, game projects are just running out of cash and like sobering up. But I mean, there's also new stuff coming on all the time. We talked about DigiDaiGaku. I just linked you over to Mystery Bowl. So this is interesting. This is like the talk of the town today. You could have minted these at 0.075 yesterday. And apparently it minted really slow, like really slow yesterday. Sold out at 0.075, ripped up to like 0.65 today, now settling down in like, you know, the 0.47 range. But the interesting thing about this is actually the studio behind Zed Run, which was like arguably one of the most popular games earlier on last year. Like it was like Zed Run and Axie Infinity, you know?
Yeah, so, a lot of people got onboarded to the NFT space through Zed Run. I believe Wappy and Quad both came through Zed Run.
So this mystery bowl, I love the description of this. Octopus Noodles has spent most of his life collecting mystical energy and placing the glass bowls he finds on the pillar of Oceanus, an ancient and mysterious place filled full of energy.
And then I linked over the pitch deck too, Nick. I'm sure you'll like to look through it.
So that's what that was. Okay, got it.
So that kind of ties it in that it's like, you know, Zed Run Studio behind this. They actually raised $20 million from A16Z.
What?
Yeah, last year Zed Run did. Yeah, Zed Run was like one of the biggest games.
Well, yeah.
Like, Zed Run was the first play-to-earn game I played.
I mean, Zed Run's huge. So,
no, I know Zed Run's huge, yeah. Is this a buy at 0.47 kicks? Do you have any?
He's muted. Oh, he had to go take care of his daughter. In terms of,
I feel like I met this guy before.
Maybe, but regardless, they have I don't know if all these people are associated with Zed Run. Maybe it's like a partner channel that they have. What I don't understand, and maybe he'll be able. So yeah, they have Zed Run, Human Park, and Animura. Animura is this pixel art game that they're developing. Wow. It's actually interesting. So what was the one that pumped that we said the guy, I forget his name, Big Balls is the last name.
Gabe Lehman or whatever.
Yeah, Gabe Big Balls. So Gabe, and what's the name of that project?
Digidaigaku.
Digidaigaku. So Digidaigaku raised all this money. What's the value of Digidaigaku right now?
Like the market cap of the NFTs?
Yeah, it's 6.43 ETH on each one of these. And these are 0.45. So
Digidaigaku also 2000. I think it's actually 2022 total times 6.43. How much does these?
I'm not even thinking about the market cap. I'm just thinking from the standpoint that these are basically comparables and one is way less. Is it?
Yeah.
We got to, it looks like a lot have sold in the past 2 minutes all to one person.
Oh, so a big floor suite or a decent floor sweep right there. Should we buy one, Nick?
I mean,
there's worse shit to buy. At least this is actually like a thing. Kix, did you buy these?
I didn't yet because there were, when I was chasing them, they were like 0.6. And I was like, I want to wait for these to settle down a little bit. So now they're back down at a decent spot.
Where would you buy into this?
Captain Zwingli just bought.
Well, I think you got to like look at, so like Digidaigaku is like a little bit different because I think that it was just like this big splash on in the space. And this guy has a ton of game design experience and then raising a $200 million really pumped it. But I think, I mean, this is Zed Run, right? And this is like for their new game. Key difference though is I think their supply was higher and they cut it to 2K. So I think they were trying to mint like 5K or 6K or something like that, which changes the demand dynamic a little bit. But like the other thing about Gabe is Gabe was all over Twitter talking about digis, pumping digis, stuff like that. So like, I'm not sure if we'll have that same element with this one, but I think getting in, you know, it's like a 2K supply, getting around this price, like doesn't seem like a terrible risk reward. Like it could run to one, you know what I mean? With some interesting action.
You just raised a good point though, which was that there was like the whole inside crew that was buying, that was sweeping the Digidaigaku. And we haven't seen that yet. Like you had like Fuck Render and a bunch of these other.
Yeah. It made waves, right? Like you just saw all of these and like people that also like aren't just like trying to get in and out to flip, but I'll pull up like the holder count right now. Worth noting Zeneca's was like pumping this in his Zeneca Academy.
So yeah. He's Zeneca. Like, all right, I'm buying one.
Pump and dumper.
I'm buying one.
Yeah. So Hype owns 29 of these. Hype was super big into Digidaigaku. Zeneca owns 21. Vopa, who's a big trader out of the underground, made a crush mode off of this. I think he bought 30 or 50 of them at mint. So sitting on, you know, decent five figure gains.
What did Zeneca buy in at? All right, I got one.
He probably minted at 0.075, I would imagine.
He's way smarter than me. All right, I just bought one. All right, cool. I just bought the top, everybody. You're welcome. Hey, everybody, go sell! Sell, everybody, sell! Yeah, I just bought the top.
You just bought...
I love top. It, dude.
So, okay.
Front running me.
So back to...
You're not going to see another sale. See the level of consistency. You're not seeing another sale for a half hour. I'm not kidding. You're not seeing another sale for a half hour.
It's completely gone.
Spotty coming in. He's like, "What are you talking about? That's so important. He needs answers." Well, there's not going to be another sale for a half hour. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen.
You got your take your time. Well, did you guys look through like the pitch deck at all or anything?
Keep this page for 60 seconds.
Yeah,
literally, you're not going to see another sale. Maybe even an hour, you're not going to see a sale for. And the next sale you see is going to be a 0.38. So yeah, you're not. I'm telling you, you're not going to see another sale for an hour. It's over. I just posted the top.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, if you look at Digidaigaku went from like free to mint to like surging up to like 0.86, kept cooking all the way up to 2.85, right? Then came down to one ETH and settled down, right? Then made a move up to like 7 or 8, then went down to 5, then went up to like 15. So like these things are going to sway all over the place. So Pia, you just got a diamond hand.
They're about to sway down.
They're going to sway way down.
Just listed for 0.969.
Someone posted that they have a partnership with Atari. Ooh, should I sweep the floor now?
Someone told me that. And I was like, that I couldn't hear something more bearish out of your mouth.
Did you see that Atari is launching in the sandbox right now?
They have a lot of sandbox property.
You get nothing with the NFT that we bought, though. So there's literally
assholes for that NFT. If I saw an Atari person at like a conference or something, they were like, "Hey, like I'm totally like involved in Atari's NFT thing." No hesitation, I would just punch him in the face right there. Literally, I would punch him in the face.
No,
the guy
no hesitation.
Like, whatever. I would just knee him in the balls right after and just finish him with like a downward elbow. Like literally,
he'd be like Nate Diaz. He'd just throw the guy into a heel hook just off out of the blue. Just heel
like
hook
on site. Literally, it's on site with anybody from the Atari team. just
kidding. Yo, you know, if I saw one of these Atari people at a conference, I'd beat the shit out of them. Okay, like they'd be. If you saw someone bloodied.
By the way, no sales, by the way. Literally, the guy comes through and buys one. No one else wants to touch it afterwards.
This is so good. It actually, on my site, says 4 minutes. I think it's nearing. Yeah, for 4 minutes, there's been no action since PO bought.
Fucking ridiculous.
Like, hey, but dude, the best offer went up from 0.2 to 0.3. Yo, so you got that going for you.
Attack the floor, PO.
Just dump it. Dump it.
I hate NFTs. I'm retiring from NFTs. This is so stupid. I can't believe.
I sold a potato for a loss today just because I had the rare rainbow. And I was just like, man, fuck, I'm tired of this shit. Like, I'm done. I'm out of the game.
Yeah, that's the thing you got working in your favor, PO. It's like this thing launched today.
OpenSea's new homepage is completely revamped. Go to the homepage. They just launched.
I'll go to any other page.
Look at this.
It's way better.
Oh, sweet. It's showing me Tableland rigs.
It is
showing me all the things I own.
Dude, it only cost them $1 billion to make this updated page. That's impressive.
Hey, oops.
Damn.
What?
There we go.
Wow.
Bravo, OpenSea.
You basically missed every sound effect on the board.
Bravo, OpenSea.
Damn, son, where'd you
find that? Okay, bringing that one back. Oh my god,
I am offended as hell that literally no one will buy this after I bought it. I'm so offended right now. Look at this. Still nobody. Somebody buy the damn thing right now. The floor is definitely cratering. Look at this local top I posted too. I'm the only guy that bought it for 0.49
in
the past.
This is hilarious.
Dude, this is preposterous, man. This guy that swept had 1.49 sale. Other than that, it's just tippy top from me. Literal top right there.
Wow, well, no, let's get some bullish stuff. So let's see the amount listed, 175, super thin.
Some warm mouth says that two people bought after you on Icy Tools.
Yeah, so they probably just bought off a different chain. So four sales after you. You're just a boomer looking at OpenSea.
Yeah, Anthony said I did zero research. Not true. Kix did the research for me. That's what business partners are for, buddy.
I gave him the business plan.
So you go to Gem and you look at activity. I see. Oh, there's a lot that have been sold. Lots of
since
action.
Me?
Well, I don't know which one you were. Wait, sorry. This is so we're looking for recent sales.
Okay. Yeah, they're actually flying. Look at this. If these are accurate, they're actually flying.
No, there's three that have sold since you.
No, so
they were all sold for less than you, actually, than less than you bought.
Yeah, you buy it off of Gem?
No, but I probably could have got it cheaper off of pseudo swap.
You paid your secondary fees like a good NFT-er, okay? You feel good about that.
X2Y2 is where these were sold. There's none for sale on PseudoSwap right now. I think, according to this,
I've been itching to like create a little. I did a little research on Sudo.
Dude, we got real quick. We got a Monday morning quarterback, John Best, saying, "Do y'all even trade NFTs?" Damn. Yeah, this is what trading NFTs looks like. You buy it and you lose money. if you don't understand that, then you are a noob. You are a noob. You're literally a noob.
This is the foundation. He's like, no. This is definitive proof that we trade NFTs is that you buy it and you lose money. Like, I've been doing that for the past year straight.
Yeah, it basically NFTs right now is you're buying a ticket on a burning ship, and if you can make it back out alive, if you're like one of the 10% that can make it back off the ship alive, you make a little bit of money, but it's not worth the stress of almost dying on a fiery ship.
Yeah. So, Bored Elon Musk copy traded me. Yo, Bored Elon.
Let's go.
Man,
he's going,
yo,
to the moon.
I gotta tell you, you don't want to be doing that, Bored Elon. Look, no. I respect you too much. I'm about to have to DM and be like, look, if I buy something, you sell it. That's what you should do. Like,
this is a bet. This is a
bet. PO's going to hit a clean 2X off of this. Let's hope he lists it, though.
I will sell the shit out of this thing.
He bought it for less than you did, though, so that's a good
sign. Oh, Bored is watching. He said YOLO, and he's a gaming guy. So there we go, Bored. That's what I'm talking about. Jizzy Drape said I'm giving us a masterclass right now.
I mean, if you're going to make a bet, the team that made Zed Run, it's not a bad bet next PDE game, so... You got your money in good, PO, as they say in the poker space.
Yeah. I mean, I'm almost like, I kind of want one just from that thesis. The problem is, I can't watch this shit go down, dude. Like, I'm so tired. My number
is in action. Yeah,
I know. Anthony goes, hold it for a day. Anthony's encouraging a very long NFT time horizon here. That's literally longer than anyone wants to hold this stuff. It's like, hold it for a day. People are like, what are you talking about?
Well, you're looking at this thing and you're just like, really?
Dude, narratives last, 2 weeks if they're a good one. So you're day one. You're getting in day one. If this puppy can hold some attention for like 4 days, you're good.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Joey Bada Boom said the best was when Kicks bought 12 ETH worth of Pixelmon live on stream and it tanked. Yeah. Interesting moment in my life for sure. I've never seen something come out of the gate so weak in my life before. Just immediately, like literally immediately, people are just selling it for losses out of the gate. I think there was some shady shit going on. I think they self-minted self-minted or something and just dumped on the secondary. But then I did 10 minutes of research and then I just saw red flags, like 80 red flags in 5 minutes. Luckily, I got out of the gate on that. Not too bad. I only lost like $8,000 in 45 minutes instead of, $38,000. And yeah.
Yeah. Good times. 100%. So, all right. So what happened on this show so far? I bought about 10, seven X higher than Zeneca bought at. So clearly I'm better than him at doing the NFT thing.
A lot of people bought a ton of these. You just got to wait for the people that are going to dump to dump. Just hold on this. This is a good bet. This is a good bet, man. And the other thing going on in the gaming space that's top 10 volume, we actually have two gaming projects in the top 10 volume, and neither of them are named DigiDaigaku. The other one is Wolf Game Genesis Land Revealed. So, I mean, if you were to say that, 10KTF is like a strong cult-like community, right? Would you guys agree to that?
Yes, it is. Wolf Game is a much weirder. It's a much weirder version, but the same. Yes.
So hold on. What are you saying, Pia? If you were like at a conference, you're just chit chatting with some people. Someone who's a Wolf Game collector just like walks up.
I would run away. Literally run.
Okay, you wouldn't punch them in the face.
No. If someone from Atari and maybe from this thing that I just bought came up to me, the jury's out on it. Then I would just immediately throw an elbow at their face.
Dude. Bored Elon says the best thing that's actually been released in NFT gaming is buying and selling gaming NFTs,
which is the metaverse. It is the game. That's what we're playing at this point in time. I don't think that there is we're buying the NFTs of games that we have no interest in playing whatsoever. Like, I don't give a shit about this Pixel game.
Well here's the interesting thing about Wolf Game. Wolf Game launched in what, December of last year? Pulled in like $25-30 million, and they've been kind of like quietly building out for the past 9-10 months. They did the cave mini game where you could get the gems and stuff like that, but like everybody in Wolf Game saying Q4, this is this is when the game releases. This is when it's going to be like, you know, the Farmville of the blockchain. And so like now the land's revealed. So the gears are starting to go in motion here. So
you're telling me this land that we're looking at here is Farmville?
Farmville on the blockchain.
Yo,
baby.
Look at, I mean, this is elite. This is elite.
So, I mean, you're not going to get much out of that dirt, but all that grass you can plant crops on. You don't have any stone or water, so you may have to get water from another farm. And unfortunately, there's no structures on your land. But it's a good, you know, if you're trying to get started in the farming business, it's a good starter home.
Yeah, that, dude, this is ridiculous.
Spotty said he's in it for the art with Wolf Game.
So, dude, this is a ridiculous... I mean, the fact that they released something, though, is great. I just wonder, like, how much effort did this take? Can we look at some of the variety amongst this land, and what are the properties on this?
So there's structures.
Yes or no? Community.
There's a lot of... look, the properties are very advanced, Nick. We wouldn't understand. Are you... Is it...
Yeah, so they're sorted into, like, different communities. So there's probably some sort of, like, tax system or, like, management system, like, at the community level. But, yeah, like, if you want to see some rare ones, look at ones with structure.
Sure. So what are those 1.4s? I mean, at least it's easy to find them. Structure... Rare one. All right, so this one has.
Look at that! Look at that! You can get to work right there, baby. You can get to work on that.
So how do you play the game?
No clue,
dude. This is like bulletin board system level graphics from back in the day, dude. Like this is straight up. I'm old. That's what's demonstrable here. But like,
bored.
What?
You get now bored. Built a 7-figure following on Twitter through funny comments because he just got him on deck.
So. Dude, this thing is like an absolute joke in terms of, but at least I hate being so dismissive of it without
without understanding it at all.
Yeah, because what Wolf Game is not trying to win on like graphics or on like, you know, AAA, you know, fast paced gameplay. I think like they're trying to be like, you know, in the strategy niche, right? So it's supposed to be like a Civilization or a.
Can you click on that status, Pio?
What's status?
That Twitter link. Full feature game coming in 2022, that one that you have highlighted.
Yeah, so Q4 is what they're saying.
You can put it in a different tab. Yo, that's just straight up an image.
Yeah, but it's moving.
No, it's a static image. Literally, it's just moving across. What the fuck?
But they launched. But look at the post. That's from 2021. So that's like a year ago.
November 21st, 2021.
Yeah, so they've been building for close to a year. So they're going to come out of the gate with something, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
They printed tens of millions of dollars, and they've held up as like a very loyal, strong community. So I would not be surprised if their game loops are good. And if there's one thing I know about Beanie, he knows how to make some game loops. If their game loops are good... You know, this could be a little Q4 rich man's game.
It might be pretty fun, honestly. Look, the only stigma...
In a bear market, dude, you know, farming your digital crops.
There's no fucking way. Dude, the problem is this is just headed... No, it's not. I'm just projecting out. Dude, if this is the land that
Nick,
I have...
Nick, just imagine like me texting before the morning show like, hey, dude, it's harvest season. Did you make sure to get your yams? And you're like, oh, crap, I forgot to... harvest my yams. Now I'm a whole day behind. You know what I mean?
Well, that was the problem that I ran into with the freaking potatoes is I had to keep going back and I'd like start growing and then it stopped growing and I had to like be there every day. And then I'm like, okay, what the hell is going on? Like, I don't even like this game. Like, well, like what am I, I'm signing up for like, I purchased the Tamagotchi Star Wars one months back to test it out and see what it was like to actually use one of these items. And
okay, well, I heard this thing about a VC, right? Pretty well-known VC, probably not an A VC, maybe like a B+ VC, but still big VC out there. Probably wouldn't ever take a meeting with me. He apparently was in this massive Clash of Clans like battle between like him and like other wealthy tech individuals. and they were no joke throwing like $50,000 into Clash of Clans just to flex on the other guys that they were playing with, right? So it's not the craziest idea to think that, I mean, like, how many, you know, people in the United States, like, in tech that have more than, like, $5 million, right? There's got to be 50,000 of them, right? Maybe 50,000? I don't know. So, like, you could see this reality where, like, one of these NFT games becomes, like, just, like, kind of the international, like, you know, rich man's blockchain chess.
Not but not this one,
chess.
Right? Not
I don't know. I get what you're saying. I like the hypothesis. The distinction is, like Bored Elon said, or Bored said, is that game is flipping NFTs. That's it right now. Like, that is the flex. Like, you go and buy an expensive NFT. Oh, I got a punk, right? Like, I don't know. Like, that's the flex now. I'm not, there's no other action for me to take, unfortunately. So, pulled the trigger. It's done. Get excited.
Dude, PO's feeling good. Look at how confident he looks off of his buy, dude. He's just checking this floor. He's refreshing it every second. Plenty of buys coming in after him. He's loving this play. It's going to go to one ETH. He's going to be talking about it nonstop on the morning show. He's going to be like, I just cashed out a little, you know, let's just say Sapphire's eating good for the next couple of months.
They're all trading at 0.49 though now, so that's at least you got action there.
So we got action at the number that I bought in. The saving grace of this damn thing is that there's only 2,000 of these fuckers and that it's almost at 50% unique ownership. It's the only reason I'm down to buy the damn thing because the volume's like quasi-legit. I feel like a bozo for not copy trading kicks on the Ranga thing, but the only problem is like,
it's quick in and ins and outs.
Yeah, the other thing is like, dude, the thing I couldn't get past with the Ranga thing is, yes, it's good art. I get it. I get that it's good art. Who gives a shit about good art in the NFT space when it's a collection like that? Like, there's so many of them. Why? What? You know what I mean? Like, all it takes is for people to just suddenly sell and it's gone. That's the thing that I couldn't get past, but Kix was spot on, absolutely right. People bought in. But like, what is the value prop? How is that thing going to possibly sustain the value that it's at now for the long term? So I think I was thinking about it too sensibly versus NFT stuff.
Yeah, I'm just looking for trades. You know what I mean? And I mean, right, I bought it at 0.38. It's at 0.5 right now. After fees, you're barely pulling in 0.05.
Yeah.
I sold some like higher than this. But there was a window to get at 0.6, 0.7, but it's such a trader's market out of there. Like, you literally, you have to come up with a price target and just list, like, the second you buy something.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be around your computer for the 15 minutes that it trades in your price window.
I listed it that night. Nick was like, I think I'm going to list mine at 0.83 or at 0.84. I was like, he's fucking totally right. I listed it at 0.84, only listed one. I had another two. The one that I listed sold at 0.84. The other two didn't. The gain I got on the other two after fees and royalty basically offset, and it was a break-even play. Whereas I could have made something. I'm going to have to list this thing right now. And then, of course, once I list this one, it's going to be a Digidaigaku-style moonshot up to three ETH. So Joey Bada Boom said, these are the next Bored Apes. You know what I really am also, what I'm actually really interested in? If this MoMA thing isn't bullshit and they're like, we're going to sell a Picasso, I mean, I don't know if people like totally process this. MoMA's like, we're going to dump a Picasso and like some other crap to the tune of 70 million total and then ape NFTs with that 70 million bucks. The question is, how much impact does 70 million bucks actually have injected into the NFT market? Does it, what's our volume is 15 million a day. So it basically just takes care of 4 days of volume, 5 days of volume. It's not that much.
Well, MoMA has 200,000 paintings.
Yeah, but
that's pretty solid. I wonder what the average price of one.
Well,
of
they said 70
is.
Million. They're going to dump 70 million worth, and so they're going to dump a Picasso and they're going to dump some other stuff. Think about it, like the 70 million, like what's up with that? Like, is that going to do anything in our market?
I have no idea.
I mean, it would make some moves in the art space. I almost wonder, is that why like Chromie Squiggles were creeping up a little bit?
Yeah, probably that.
I mean, dude, I like your point. The conclusion is, and I ended up tweeting as a result of it, that PFPs that any of them look fucking good. Like they all look, all of it looks stupid. Like we're.
No, I wasn't saying it looked bad. I wasn't.
No, that's what you said. No, that's what you said. You said, "Who cares about the art?" Danica PDF asked, "Is Nick middle aged?" Technically, yes.
Technically, we all are, depending on how long we make it on this earth.
Well, exactly. But no, Nick is 40, Danica. The funny thing is, my friends from growing up, once we all turned 30, they started saying we were middle aged. And I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? And I just thought that was like the weirdest thing.
Once you get out of your 20s, you're middle aged. That's just the sad truth of life.
I feel like between 40 and 60 is middle aged.
Yeah, I feel like Nick is barely middle aged. Nick's
like
also
end of life.
He's a young 40. Yeah, you're saying that it's end of life because you're not in the sauna and you're not optimizing your diet every single day.
I'm in the sauna 3 days a week. I sweat. I believe in sweating. There's studies out there. You do the sauna 3 days a week, you're basically not dying of a heart attack. You're basically immune to cardiovascular death and disease.
Well, I need that.
One of my favorite things is men asking me about my sort of relationship status, and that's something that's one of my favorite messages.
Nick eligible from Gary Sr.
Yeah.
Gary's got kids. He's Gary Sr. We got a Gary Jr. running around, but he wants to know, hey, I'm just curious. Hey, is Nick eligible? What are we thinking? So I pulled this one up. This, like, Momo would buy this. Momo would buy this.
Would buy this?
Yeah. This girl's a really big deal.
That'd
in
be
the
a mistake.
Dude.
I'm just kidding.
I'm clipping that.
But you're right, Pio, with this. Because you got to think of, like, what's the art that MoMA's going to buy? Like, they probably ain't buying.
This guy's been in MoMA. This guy's been in MoMA.
Oh, man. He's 90% down from when I sold. Maybe it's time to get back in.
Right? At some point, well, this guy has had a fall from grace in terms of the market. But if MoMA comes through.
Yeah. These I actually like more for whatever reason. But. Yes, the Breeze says they'll just buy one of ones.
But wouldn't they buy like a ringer? They'll get like one ringer. Why not?
They're gonna get art blocks. They'll probably get Punk's art blocks. I'm saying they might get that Nina Chanel collection. I've always liked the art on Creature World, and the art on Creature World is original. The fact that Danny Cole made something original alone, in my opinion, makes him like important to some capacity. He made something that's original and good. I'm just saying, like, it's hard to make original stuff, and a lot of stuff in the NFT space and the art space in 2022 is not original and it copies other people. They're probably going to buy X copy. So what's Max Payne at right now? Ooh, it's down from yesterday.
Oh, shit. Oh, man, we're down by 0.2.
0.02. It's down 0.05 from yesterday.
Okay.
Max Payne, 0.57. Interesting.
It's a lot of Max Paynes, though. The market cap on Max
Payne. Oh, look at this. We're getting spammed by Wolfgame. I love it.
Oh, man. I mean, block
it's
these.
It's all
boys.
By the same person.
Yeah, I'm just. All right, he's blocked. Goodbye. I used to not block people. Blocking people on YouTube is the best. And muting people on Twitter is the best. There like is no second best. Please come and start spamming so I can block you and feel good afterwards.
Let's see how many alts this guy has.
Is there anything else in the world of gaming that we want to discuss, or are we going to wrap?
No, I thought this was like a fun little episode, right? Talked about some new gaming stuff. There's some interesting stuff happening in the gaming market. We haven't talked about it a little bit. Pio is now in the gaming,
I'm a big player
with this buy
it's
right here.
Five.
It's at 0.5.
I'm a big player, guys, and I'm smart money. Clearly, I bought at 0.49. Now it's 0.5. That's a smart money move. So yeah, someone said, "What about the merge?" The merge doesn't matter. Hot take: it doesn't matter today. It probably matters in 3 years. Go ahead, Kix.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, worrying about the merge is like every night before going to bed, wondering if like a meteor strike's going to hit your house. You know what I mean? Like, the merge is either going to work fine or it's going to be a complete disaster or something in between. And none of us have any control over it, nor can predict how it's going to go down. So it's best just to sit on the Titanic and eat your dinner in the beautiful music hall and just hope it doesn't hit an iceberg. And most of the time, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Gary Sr. asked if the three of us have X copy exposure. Nick owns Max Payne. I used to own Max Payne. I made like 0.6 ETH off of it when ETH was $3,000. I don't think Kicks has it. I'll be back into Max Payne, but it's hard to tell when. And I'd like a nice big NFTs are dead complete capitulation event, which I think might happen. We're not, according to Crypto Kaleo's schedule of Bitcoin against the halving, we actually technically, if history repeats itself, have not hit the quote unquote bottom yet. But we're in the next like 45 days, you basically see that bottom. That would be a nice time to buy NFTs. The other thing, I'm starting to see a little bit of capitulation, starting to see people like text me and stuff and say like, you know, what do you think about NFTs long-term? You think that there's anything that's really here? Do you think it's over? I want to see like that full capitulation where like people
retail capitulation. At the same time, we're literally getting graphed charts of the investments into crypto by vertical, and like NFTs are just like the biggest chunk of it all. Like basically all of smart money is throwing money at NFTs, and retail's thinking about capitulation dumping.
And keep in mind, everyone, like, could be totally wrong. So counter trade me, just go sweep the floor on Max Payne. Like, counter trade me. I'm just saying, we don't know anything. Okay.
Yo, and have you ever traded an NFT before, you bozo?
Yo, my man.
All I know is yesterday someone told me that Logger.eth was going to put my kids through college, and I think they're right.
Logger.eth is good, man. That's a really good one.
Twilio is up 10% today. There's definitely been some action there.
Good good earnings. I was thinking about buying them. So it looks like I can buy the top, which is always fun.
I love how just mentioning ENS prompted Izzy to be like, ENS LFG, like, this is crazy. So Terminatus X, I hope that it proves us wrong and that we have to eat our words. That's how.
And I'm not shitting on Wolfgame. I put an offer in at 0.27 on the line.
You've been shitting on Wolfgame, dude.
Izzy, what bag was I pumping? I don't own Max Payne or any of this
stuff. Yo, defend yourself.
What bag was I pumping? Help me understand.
Dude, we're just bag pumpers anyways. This is the bag pumping show.
We may have to get the pump out for the Friday show and some sunglasses.
Oh, that'd be cool. Damn.
It's been a while since the pump came out, you know? I don't know what the... I had more ETH in here.
I had some collection-wide offers on Max Payne. I wonder if they went through. Nope. I think one might have gone through. So I got a Max Payne.
My last question while we're going to pump some bags is Lana Del Taco like sort of the next big thing?
Yo, I have... Oh, no. I don't have a Max Payne. Sorry.
Oh, shit. One just sold for 0.03.
Lana Del Taco?
Yeah.
That's some good Del Taco money right there, Nick.
This is a Russian rug. A lot of the sales were bundles that were priced with Russian letters. And no offense to Russians, obviously.
Well, yes. I also bought this Doomsday Garden thing that's gone nowhere.
Nick, get yourself in on the Mystery Bowl with your compadre Pio.
Are you joining?
I'm going to wait for it to go lower. No, I'm just kidding. I don't
get this guy out of here. Wait for it to go lower.
Do you really just call him?
All right. Yeah, well, I honestly don't know. I'm definitely eyeing it. I'm going to do a little research. I'm going to do a little thinking. Here's the thing. If something's really going to pump in a bear market, you usually have some time to figure it out. You know, you got a couple days. So I'm going to see. But, dude, I mean, here's the thing. Once again, there's not much going on in this space. So, like, Zedron launching a new game, you know, there could be some momentum around that. We'll have to see.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we hope you enjoyed the show. Hit the like button. Smash the subscribe button. Share the videos with your friends. Check us out on TikTok. Check out our YouTube shorts. Check out our Twitter content. Follow all of our Twitter accounts. Also, follow at Nifty Portal on Twitter, where we post a lot of shorts. You'll see us retweeting it. And we will see you tomorrow. Tomorrow, actually, there's not going to be a YouTube video on this channel, but Kicks and Easy are going to be doing a gaming-focused YouTube video on Easy's channel. So that's Easy Eats Bodega on YouTube. You can also find that through the About section of this channel. He obviously is part of the business. It is an affiliate. Channel. See you guys next time. Thanks for watching.
Later.
Hey, later.